Many of you, we say this a lot. Our church is different. We're a very unique church. And I say that to say Brother Fisher has been a friend of our church for many years, and he understands us. Sometimes I don't even understand us, all right? How many of you feel the same way? Like, yeah, I don't understand these people either. Brother Fisher gets our church and how we are and our culture, and he's been a good friend to us. And so glad to have him tonight. Appreciate him coming to preach to us. Let's give him a warm welcome, and let's listen to what he has to say.
Okay, that's great. Are you ready to turn to some scriptures tonight? All right, good. Look at John chapter 20, please. John chapter number 20. Good to see you. Good to see the progress on the building. And what a blessing to hear that things are moving along that way. John chapter 20. I want to study with you a little bit tonight and might give you a thought or two that might be new to you. And by that I mean, even though you may have read it before, you may have not quite read it in this fashion. So stay with me a little bit. Okay, I see the clock. We'll be in good shape, all right? Look at John chapter 20, and here's what I want to ask you to do. We're going to look at a half of Scripture, one half of a Scripture. I'm going to pause for a moment and try to think why they are feeling the way they're feeling in that particular Scripture, meaning this. Sometimes we read Scriptures, and rather just quickly reading through and making a check mark for the day, we need to stop. Pause, and the Holy Ghost might say, ponder that a little bit. Think about it a little bit. Study it out a little bit and kind of get a sense on what's going on and why it's going on. So with that in mind, look at John chapter 20. In verse number 19, it says this, the same day at evening. I want you to know this is the resurrection day. Didn't we just have Resurrection Sunday? And this is resurrection day, but I want you to understand something. The apostles do not yet understand that he rose from the dead. So in verse number 19, the first half of the verse says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. If you have your own Bible, would you underline the next two words? They were assembled, and what was their atmosphere in that room that night? The doors were shut. The disciples were all assembled, and they were there. Next two words, say them with me. For fear. They were there because they were afraid of the Jews. Now, let's stop there for a moment, and I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where fear is in the room. What do you mean? I don't know if you've ever been in a situation, maybe a hospital situation, or maybe a situation where the room is filled with fear. But listen to me, fear can drain hope out of the room. I'll say it again. Fear hath its torments. Would you agree with that? And fear can be tormenting in the minds of people. And if you've ever been afraid of something or been operating in fear, it's tormenting. And it can bring up all kinds of imaginations. And that night, the first half of the verse, they're in there, and they're in there because of fear. And who they feared were the Jews. And there's a reason, and let's stop for a moment and study it. Why was there a lack of hope in the room that night? Why was they assembled, if you would, and they were assembled in fear? You would look and go, well, the Lord rose again from the dead. But please listen, they didn't know that yet. And let's study just a little bit. Look at Luke 18. Look at Luke 18 real quick. Luke chapter 18. And I want you to see something that the Lord taught the apostles, if you would, the disciples. But I want you to see something very clearly. Look at Luke 18. Notice verse number 31. Verse number 31. Then he took the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to where? Say it. Jerusalem. We're getting ready to head into Jerusalem. and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. He said everything that the prophets, the Old Testaments, had written about the Son of Man, about me, shall be accomplished. And then he said this, he, being the Son of Man himself, he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. He shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And then he says, and the third day he shall rise again. And everybody in here would say what? Amen. But I want you to see something. And they understood what? None of these things. When he told them that he was going in and that he was going to be delivered to the Gentiles, the Romans, he was going to be mocked, spitefully entreated, spitted on. They were going to scourge him, put him to death, and rise again. Then he'll rise again the third day. They understood none of those things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. So please, let's get in our mindset this. They did not understand the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I'll say it again. Please listen. They did not understand the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Would you agree with that? Talk to me a little bit. Why? Because it was hid from them. Do you know, here's the Lord teaching something, the master teacher, God on earth, and God's teaching them something and they're not getting it. They're not understanding it. Why? It's hid from them yet. If God doesn't want us to understand something, he can hide it from us. If God doesn't want us to understand our circumstances sometimes, he can hide it from us. If God doesn't want us to understand what's going on around us once in a while, he can hide it from us. And you can look right at it and not understand it. Are you still with me? Have you ever had circumstances and situations in your life you're looking at right at them and you're going, I wonder what's going on. I wonder what's happening. I'm telling you that even though Jesus is teaching them the death, the burial, and the resurrection, they're not understanding. And the Bible says, and they neither knew they the things which were spoken. Now, with that in mind, please, and I'm not trying to create false doctrine here. When he sent them out to preach, remember he sent the 12 out? Talk to me. And he sent the 70 out to preach. Do you remember that? Please listen. They did not preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I'll say it again. They didn't teach the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You say, why not? They didn't understand it. Because it was hid from them. I knew that would make everything quiet in here just for a moment. Because what did they preach? They preached that Messiah is coming and to repent. I'll say it again. They preached, they were sent before him where he would go, and they preached the Christ is coming, Messiah is coming, and they were preaching repentance, which is John the Baptist preaching that. Come on, is that right? Nothing wrong with the concept of repentance. I'm just telling you, they were not out preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection because they didn't understand it yet. Well, what did they believe? What did they understand? What did they think that was going to happen? Remember, he was coming up to Jerusalem. He was getting ready to enter in. What did they think that was going to happen? And it's in Luke chapter number 19. Look at it real quick. Luke 19. And in Luke 19, look at verse number 11. Verse number 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. Why? Because he was nigh to Jerusalem. He was coming up to Jerusalem. He's getting ready to enter in Jerusalem. Watch. And because they thought that the kingdom of God should what? Say it. Immediately appear. So please listen. Here's what they thought. They thought when he goes into Jerusalem, when he enters into Jerusalem, they thought he was going to become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They thought he was going to take over the nation of Israel right then. They thought he was going to take over the Roman government. They thought they was going to take over the Jewish council. They thought he was going to set himself up as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what they thought. Now, please listen. He taught them the death, the burial, and the resurrection, but they didn't understand that because it was hid from them. What were they thinking? They were thinking when he goes into Jerusalem, when he enters into Jerusalem, he's going in to take over. He's going in to become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They thought that he was going in to become Messiah. That's why when he rode in on that little donkey, they were casting out palm branches saying, Hosanna, here comes the King, here comes the King. And they thought he was going to take over. Now, please listen, he is coming back to take over. Would you agree with that? He's coming back, and the next time he comes back, he will be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Is that right? He's going to take over the earth. We're going to rule and reign with him. But they thought it was going to happen back then. They didn't understand his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Please listen. They didn't understand he had to first go in as the Lamb of God and become the scapegoat and take upon him the sins, and that they were going to mock him and scourge him and beat him, and he was going to suffer our wrath. Come on, is that right? He was going to become sin for us that knew no sin. They didn't understand any of that because it was, say it, hid. Say it again, what? Hid from them. We can have circumstances going on, and even though we're looking at the circumstances, we may not understand them. What? You could have something going on in your life. Please listen, if God doesn't show you what it is, you can be saying, what's going on? What's happening? What? Why is this taking place? Please look up here. This doesn't make any sense. Anybody ever have something like that in your life? Like this? This doesn't make any sense. Please listen. You started a building a while back, and who knew what was going to happen? The truth of us, none of us did. I'll say it again. You started a building program. I was here at the banquets. I preached the banquets. But we didn't know what was about ready to happen. We didn't know that there would be some delays. Come on. We didn't know what would happen to Brother Esposito. Come on, talk to me a little bit. We had no idea. When we were having those banquets, it was just all hunky-dory, and we were getting ready to build a building, and we were all going to move in. It was going to be great. We didn't know all these things were going to happen, but please listen, God knew. I'll say it again, God knew. And you can look at it now and say, well, it seems like it's all shaping up. It seems like it's all going to work out. It seems like it's all going to fit together. And by the way, I believe it is. But there are times when you look at each other and kind of scratch your head and say, what do you think's going on? What do you think's happening? This wasn't supposed to be this way. May I say to you something? The circumstances sometimes are hid from us. We didn't expect it. And it can cause some confusion. It can cause some fear. And fear can have torments. Are you still with me? Did I lose you? Don't look at me like you had it all figured out. Don't look at me like you say, no, I always had hope. Now, I believe some of you always had hope, but don't tell me your hope didn't fade a little bit. You're not being honest with me. You're not saying amen. You're not agreeing with me. Look, I've watched you all. I wouldn't have known what was going on. I would have scratched my head too and said, huh? Are you still with me or not? In fact, there's a few times where you scratch your head, and I don't know if you ever felt like this. There was a point in time where financially, when the city came in and started putting the bureaucracy on you and asking you for all the more plans and redo this and redo that, it looks like, would we ever get through this? Why do you keep saying we? Because I'm with you. I'm with you on this. I mean, brethren, I want to tell you this. Can I just be kind of blunt with you? There's people that left this church because they thought it was all falling apart. Can I say that again in a blunt manner? There's people who've left this church thinking like it was all falling apart. I'm just going to wait till more of you agree with me. You say, well, what am I supposed to say? I don't know that. Just agree with me because it's true. There's people who left this church thinking it's just all going to fall apart. Okay? Finally, I got somebody to nod back there. And may I say something to you? When Jesus was entering in, they didn't understand his death, his burial, and his resurrection because it was HID. You say it. It was hid from them. Their understanding wasn't open to it yet because they thought he was going to go in and become the King of Kings right then. And that's what they were looking forward to. You say, do you really believe that? Look at Mark 14 real quick. Mark chapter 14. Everybody still all right? Mark chapter 14. Stay with me. Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, watch this little phraseology and stay with me. Remember, we left them in the room there for fear of the Jews, and they were assembled for fear. Look at Mark chapter 14. And notice what he says, that they just have the last Passover with him. They went out, verse number 26. They went out and sung a hymn on the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said something to them that kind of rattled them a little bit. Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, he was speaking about himself, and the sheep, speaking about the apostles, shall be what? Say it. Scattered. He said, tonight you all are going to be offended because of me. It is written. It's written. It's written in the Old Testament. I will smite the shepherd. They'll come to get me. The sheep will be scattered. And then he said this, verse 28. But after that I am, say it, risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Verse number 28. After that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Let me ask you a question. Did they understand that? Because it was what? Hid from them. Come on, is that right? They had no idea what he just said. And Peter said this. Look what Peter said. Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. I mean, they might all be offended, but I won't. And Jesus says, well, you know, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he spake the more vehemently. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. And watch verse 31. Likewise also said they all. We're not going to deny you. Please look up here. You know what they were thinking? He's going in to become the king. We're not going to deny him. He's going in to take over. I'll say it again. He's going in to become the King of Kings. We're going to rule and reign with him. We're not going to deny him. I'll say it again. We're not going to deny him. He's going in to take over. He's going to be the king. Why would we deny that? All of you are going to be offended tonight. Not me. You know what they were thinking? You're going in to be king. I'm not going to deny you. You're the king. You're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You're going to set yourself up as king. In fact, two of them had asked, Lord, whatsoever we asked you, would you do? When you become king, can one of us sit on the right hand and one on the other? Come on, is that right? The sons of Zebedee? Please look up there. They were talking about when he went into Jerusalem. I'll say it again. They were talking about in a few weeks when you go into Jerusalem and take over, let us one of us sit on the right hand and one sit on the left. Why would they deny him? He was going to become king. Please listen to me. What they perceived was going to happen didn't happen. I'll say it again. What they thought was going to happen did not happen. Did you ever have a plan and the plan didn't work out? And did you ever look and go, but I expected this to happen, and that didn't happen, and now it just seems like it's all falling apart. Let me ask you again. Have you ever had a plan in your life, in your family, in your business? Have you ever had a plan in your church? And this was the plan. This was the plan of the ministry. But it didn't quite happen that way. And your expectations were not quite met. Did you ever feel like, I don't know, it just seems like it's all falling apart? Have you ever had a situation where you thought, now this job is going to work out, and then you got laid off? Did you ever have a situation where you expected this, but when that didn't happen and it got worse, it was like, now what? I remember when the city came back and asked for new plans, new drawings. That was going to delay everything a little bit. This happened, that happened. brethren, for a little while, it kind of looked like things are falling apart to some. Come on, is that right? You say, no, that's not the case. Come on, let's be honest. No, we had hope all the way through. Don't tell me you didn't have some private conversations once in a while. What do you think, honey? Like, what do you think? I guess we should still keep giving. Let me say it again. I guess we should still keep giving. We'll get there one day. But I wonder if somebody said, I don't know if we're going to get there. Brother, I want to tell you something. Right when they were going in to get ready to watch him go in, they said, we're not going to deny you. Please listen. You're going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're going to take over the earth. That's what they were thinking. But look what happens next. Stay with me. Look at Mark chapter 14 again. Mark chapter 14, verse 43. Verse 43. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12. And with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And you know what they did? Verse 46. They laid their hands on him and what? Say it. Took him. Brethren, that was not in their plans. What do you mean? That was not in their minds. He wasn't supposed to be taken. He was going to go in and take over. But here they came and the Lord submitted himself to the Father's will, but they didn't know that was the Father's will. Don't you think they were a little bit confused that night? Talk to me a little bit. Don't you think they were a little bit confused that night? This wasn't supposed to happen. In fact, the Bible says this, when they took him, the Bible says, verse 50, and they all did what? Forsook him and what? Fled. Brethren, I want to say to you, they were stunned that night. What they expected. Why do you keep saying this? Because I want you to get the concept. What they expected was just after that night that they ate the Passover, the last Passover together, he was getting ready to head into Jerusalem. And may I say to you, he had already rode in. They had already, if you would, thrown the palm branches down, rode in on a little donkey. They had had the Passover, and they were getting ready for him in their minds to take over. And now they were watching the scribes and the Pharisees taking him, being in control of him. And by the way, he was submitting. We know he could have called legions of angels. Come on, is that right? But he didn't. He was submitting to the Father's will. Please listen. He was drinking the cup of suffering. But from their human standpoint, they had no idea what was happening. Can't you see as they led him away that night? They were going to take him over to Caiaphas, the high priest. He was going to turn him over to Pilate. Pilate was going to send him to Herod. Herod was going to send him back. They were going to beat him. They were going to mock him. They're going to spit on him. They're going to compel him to carry that cross up. Please look up here. And they're going to, this apostles from afar off are going to watch as they take him and lay him on that old rugged tree and nail him to the tree. I wonder what's running through their mind. They're all kind of afar off, the Bible says, afar off watching. I wonder what's going through their mind as they watch the one they expected to be king now getting ready to be crucified as a thief. Because to them it looked like it was all falling apart. The plan. Remember, it was hid from them. They didn't understand. I'll ask you one more time tonight. Have you ever had something in your life where it looks like it's just all falling apart? Why is this happening? And then this is happening. And then that's happening. And then this is happening. Man, it just looks like it's getting worse, not getting better. I know you just poured the concrete. I know the buildings is getting up. You got a little ways to go. You're going to get there. But I want to commend you that even in the middle, when it looks like it all falling apart, you stayed with it. But don't tell me there wasn't some apprehension along the way. No, we were strong.
Yeah, okay. How about 3 years ago? Congratulations on voting in your pastor. Come on. But I'm glad you waited a little bit. I'll guarantee you, somebody was saying we waited too long, and somebody said we didn't wait long enough. Come on, is that right? Am I reading you all right, or do I not know you? Come on. Humans make all kinds of statements. I'm glad you have a pastor voted in. No disrespect to our friend. None at all. Sometimes it's time to move forward. How'd the vote go? Good. 100%? Good, you waited long enough. What do you mean you waited? You waited till the gainsayers left. Did I say that wrong? You say, what's a gainsayer? Somebody that's negative about everything. They weren't here that night. Is that okay to say that? I did now. You say, do you know who you're talking about? No. I have no idea. You might, but I don't. But I know this, 100% vote means some of the ones that didn't believe left. God bless them. I mean, God bless them. Oh, they were here. They weren't here that night. Do I have this right? Is it okay to say all this? I'm leaving tomorrow, so. But let's just be honest, because sometimes we don't have it all figured out. Now you can look back and say, no, I knew this was going to happen. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I went to the banquets. I watched the money being given. I remember the bond program. Come on. I watched this thing for a while. I remember back in the days of the blue tarps, if you go back that far. I saw the picture on the wall out here, chronologically, and I looked at the one in the buildings, and I thought, oh, I remember that building. That's where they had blue tarps in the back for Sunday schools. Come on. It's good to see the history of what God has done and is doing. But along the way, once in a while, it looks like it's just falling apart. And when they took him, they all forsook him and fled, not knowing what was going on. And may I remind you something? Look over at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We're coming back to John 20 in just a moment. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Thanks for turning there. Look at verse 55. Verse 55. And many women were there beholding. They were at the crucifixion now. Verse 45 talks about the darkness that came on the face of the earth from noon till 3. And then Jesus, with a loud voice in verse 50, gave up the ghost and he dies. And the Bible says, verse 55, that many women were there beholding far off, which followed Jesus from Galilee. They had been following him a few years. Well, now watching afar off what's taking place. Now, may I remind you, verse 55, those women thought he was going to become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Those women, it was hid from them too. Why, he's being crucified. Who's there? Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, Mary the mother of Zebedee's children. There's Mary the sister. They're all there in verse 61. The idea is this. Then, after he dies, Joseph comes and begs the body, Joseph of Arimathea, and wraps the body in verse number 59. Look at verse 59. He wraps the body. And can't you see everybody watching? Please listen. As Joseph of Arimathea and a man named Nicodemus, who brought the myrrh, and they begin to carry the body just down the hill from Golgotha into a little garden area where Joseph had, if you would, in the stone, hewn out a tomb. And now they're taking this, please look, they're taking this dead body of the one that they thought was going to become King of Kings and Lord of Lords and go in and take over. And now here this dead body is wrapped. Please look. We know he's absent from the body and he descended to do some preaching. Come on, is that right? But they don't know that. All they know is their hope, their plan, their future, their Messiah is now being carried to a tomb. Would you agree with this statement? When Joseph took him into his tomb, he didn't know he was going to get up. He took him in there and put him in there like a family member, like permanently. So when they went in and laid him down on that slab that had been hewn out, if you would, and rolled the stone, when Joseph left that night, he was thinking, he's part of the family now. They had no idea he was going to get up. Can't you see that night when they were walking away from that gravesite and those that were befolding afar? Please look up here. It looked like it was falling apart. Everything they had planned, all their expectations that he was going to become king. Why? Because the saying about the death, the burial, and the resurrection was hid from them. That's why. We go to John 20, and please look up here. When they assembled themselves on that first day, he had been dead now. And they had been thinking about it all Sabbath day. They've been thinking about it. And he'd been dead. Can't you hear the conversations? I thought he was going to go in and become King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's dead. It's all fallen apart. And please look up here. They were scattered. It got even worse. Look, if you would, for them. Look, if you would, there, and you're in Matthew chapter number 27. Look what happens in Matthew 27. Look at verse 64. Verse 64. When they put him in the tomb, they said, look, verse 64, command, therefore, that the sepulcher, that grave, be made sure until the third day. They were going to post a Roman guard until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And say unto the people, he's risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. They said, you know what? Just to make sure that they don't come and steal him, I want you to post a Roman guard out there on that sealed tomb to make sure his disciples don't come and steal him away. Now they were kind of thinking, you know, these guys could be have an intent to try to make it look like he rose from the dead like he said he was going to do. In fact, in chapter number 28, look at it real quick. Chapter number 28 won't be much longer. Chapter 28, and now after he's risen from the dead, look at verse 11. When they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. What? That he wasn't in the tomb anymore. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, watch what they did. They gave large money unto the soldiers, the ones that were guarding the tomb. They gave the large money to the soldiers, and they said, here's what we want you to tell everybody. Say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. So word went out that day from all those soldiers, look, we fell asleep, and his disciples came and stole him away, and they had been paid to do that. Please look up here. That's you think fake news is right now? It's back then, too. Come on, amen? Is that right? Did you get what I just said? They told the disciples, or the guards, they paid them money, and they said on that day, tell everybody his disciples came and made it look like he rose again from the dead, and we'll give you large sums of money. And so they went out and did that. By the way, that's on the day that he got up, but they don't know he's up yet. So everybody's thinking these disciples are criminals, fake artists. Like they came, got past that Roman guard and took his body away, and they told everybody that. Now you can see why they're assembled on that first day of the week. And what's the reason they're assembled? Talk to me. For fear of the Jews. They're assembled for what? Say it. Fear of the Jews. In that room, they're assembled for fear of the Jews. Please listen. Mary Magdalene had saw him that day and told the disciples, but they didn't believe her. Why? It was still hid from them. So up in that room that night, being assembled for fear of the Jews, they felt like everything was falling apart of what they expected. Now, Listen carefully. Sometimes when we think it's all falling apart, it's actually falling into place. I'll say it one more time. When we think it's falling apart, often when God's in it, it's actually falling into place. In His timing, in His way, so He gets glory. I'm going to say this one more time because this is the thought of the message. When it seems like it's all falling apart according to what we understand, even though some things are hid from us, oftentimes God is putting it all into place the way He wants it. And He'll get the glory when it's finally revealed. There was a time when things started going after a couple of the banquets, but boy, the things got a little bit different around here. I know you kept up the faith and kept going, but boy, then the city came in and they wanted this and they wanted that. And didn't the project stop for a while? I'll ask again, didn't the project stop for a while? One more time, I want to ask, didn't the project stop for a while? And I want to tell you, when the project stopped, it was a little harder to give. I'm waiting. When the project stopped because of the bureaucracy, and they wanted this and they wanted that, it was a little bit harder to give. Thank you. I'm not saying you didn't give, but it was a little harder to give because what was happening, it looked like it might be falling apart, but it wasn't. It was fitting into place. There's been so many miracles that have happened over there. Don't get used to the miracles. Don't get used to the pastor standing up and said, yeah, we just laid that concrete and saved 40%. And don't go, oh, yeah, we've heard that before. No. That's still the Lord. That's still the Lord fitting something into place. Who did the concrete? Somebody here? Huh? Labor and hired it out? Is somebody here doing some work on that right now? Are they visiting and they're doing something? Who's that? You, brother? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? I'm not asking it that way, but in the, all honesty, what are you doing here? Like, called of God to help out? What have you been working on? Anything and everything? We're glad you're here. You're helping it to fit into place, brother. And we're glad y'all are here. I'm not just saying that. I don't know you. You're better off not knowing me, but especially after tonight, right? But you're helping it. God sent you to help fit something into place, and you're an encouragement. You and your wife. And I mean that with all my heart. I hope they've highlighted you a little bit, not to glorify you, but to glorify God bringing you, because I can tell you're a humble guy that just wants to do the work, but you know what you're doing, and we need guys that know what they're doing. What kind of stuff have you been doing, Pastor? Just anything and everything? Like utility, and everything he does, it comes out pretty good? Oh, that's so nice. If you say he's on the job and he's in charge of that, you just know it's going to be okay. Oh, give us more of those. We need more money so he can do more, is that right? With a little bit more money, you can keep going, right? The idea, brother, and please look up here, it's not falling apart. It is fitting into place, but not in the timing that we thought, and not in the way that we thought. But I'm going to tell you something. When you open it up and dedicate it and have your first service, there might just be a little hooping and hollering going on, especially those that labored and their expectations are finally realized. Look at John chapter 20. And by the way, this is not just about the building. You may have something in your life going on right now where it looks like it's falling apart. And I want to say to a family member in here, a husband and wife, a family, a ministry, a missionary not quite able to get out where you want to go, look up here. It may not be falling apart. It may be fitting into place in his timing. And we look at it as a delay, and he looks at it as it's right on time. Why is this happening? Why? Because God wants to increase our faith. But it's still hid from us what he's doing. I'm talking to some couple in here tonight. You've got something that's kind of falling apart a little bit. To some single person in here, what you expected didn't quite work out. I'll say it again. What you expected, single person, didn't quite work out yet. It looks like something is falling apart. And God is teaching you a little long-suffering and patient and to trust in him. But please look up here. When it looks like it's falling apart, fear can come in. You say, I'm not afraid of anything. It's not that kind of fear. It's something that shakes your mind. I'll say it again. It's something that shakes your mind and makes your mind a little unsound. Did you ever have a mind that was shook a little bit? Come on, am I the only one? Have you ever have your, if you're one of those guys and gals that your mind never shakes, have patience with the rest of us who do. Anybody want to agree with me that once in a while your mind shakes a little bit? Okay, a couple of y'all. I know God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a power of a sound mind. But once in a while, circumstances can shake us when we don't understand. And I'm telling you, that night when they're in that room for assembled for fear of the Jews, they don't understand, and their mind is shaken a little bit. Please look up here. And the city is looking for them. I'll say it again. The Jews are looking for them. Let me say it one more time. The Jews are looking for them because they paid the soldiers to say that he was stolen away, and everybody thinks they stole him. And the Romans and the Jewish can't figure out what was going on, because when they put him in there and they put the rock on, he was there. And then that morning there was an earthquake and the stone was rolled away and he's not there anymore. And who can explain that? It wasn't like everybody just rose from the dead all the time. This was a new phenomena. So look at John chapter 20. Let's end this thing tonight. Look at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, where the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, say it, for fear of who? Do you understand why they're afraid now? They expected him to become King of Kingdoms, Lord of Lords, and now all they know is he was dead. And everybody's looking for them because they thought, well, the soldiers say he stole him away. And they don't understand his death, his burial, and his resurrection yet. But things are about ready to change, and it looks like to them at that time, it's all falling apart. But God's about ready to fit some things into place because they were assembled for fear of the Jews. Look at what happens after that. Came Jesus. That'll help. Come on, is that right? When they were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had showed him his hands and his sides, then were the disciples what? They were what? Brethren, they were in there for fear. No doubt they were in some sadness. And now all of a sudden Jesus shows up, stood in the midst of them, said, peace be unto you. And all of a sudden they got real, real glad when they saw him. Then he does something. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, second time. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had thus said thus, here's what he did. He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the who? Holy Ghost. So he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Please look up here. And the Holy Ghost empowered them that night. And something happened. Look at Luke 24. Luke 24. Almost finished. Everybody still okay tonight? Come on. Luke 24. I'm going to finish this now. Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, he breathed on them. Remember over in John chapter 20. And now in Luke chapter 24, he breathed on them. But watch what happens. Verse 36.
And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, what? You say it. Peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted. Supposedly they had seen a spirit. And he said, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts rise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, it's me. It's myself. He shows them in verse number 40, his hands and his feet, authenticates who he is. And while they yet believed, what? Not for joy. What do you mean they didn't believe? It wasn't open to them yet. While they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, do you have any meat? Have any meat? He took it and ate. And then the Bible says this. Look at verse 44. And he saith unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. Remember when he talked about his death, his burial, and his resurrection? These are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Luke chapter 18. That all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Remember I told you about the death, the burial, and resurrection? Then the Bible says this in verse 45. Then opened he their what? Understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Let me ask you a question. How did he open their understanding? He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost came into them, their understanding opened. And they went, oh. It's going to be okay. We just understood the scripture. We just understood his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You say, man, when I got saved, I understood that. That was the first time they understood it. And what looked like was falling apart is now starting to fit into place because now the Holy Ghost is in charge. Please listen. Once in a while, what we need to be is filled with the Spirit. What do you mean? Once in a while, in our present circumstances, we need to be filled in the Spirit. Preacher, let me make a suggestion to your church. Pastor, what's going to help in this offering is everybody gets filled with the Spirit again. If everybody gets filled with the Spirit again to the current situation of where you all are at right now, they will give. You will give. I'm not after your money. I'm more interested in you getting filled with the Spirit. You say, well, I understand where we're at. Not like when you're filled with the Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, you don't look and say, how are we going to do that? You'll look and say, oh, it's going to get done. And the Holy Ghost will say, and I want you to have a part in it. I'm not after your money tonight. I'm after your walk with the Lord in your current circumstances, in your current situation. If you have something falling apart in your life that seemed like it's falling apart, why don't you pray to be filled with the Spirit of God? And who knows, the Spirit might say, here's the same circumstances that you didn't understand and thought it was falling apart. Let me show you what I'm doing. And actually, it's fitting all together. I'm fitting it together. And I can show you what I'm going to do. Brethren, when he breathed on them and opened up their understanding, then they understood the death, the burial, and the resurrection. They didn't know what was going to happen next. They were going to be told to wait for the promise of the Father. Well, the promise of the Father was Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came in power. Come on, is that right? But in Acts chapter 4, they're filled with the Spirit again. What I'm saying is we get filled with the Spirit more than once in our life to understand what's going on currently. I hope you have a good attitude about where you're at in the building. I was so pleased when I walked up and saw the concrete and all that out there and all that, everything out there, and people were running down to see it. That gives you hope. Come on, doesn't it? It gives you hope. I know you haven't got to the interior yet, but you're going to get there. God's going to work it out. You got to take care of this offering coming up. And what do we do? Do your best. Do your best with understanding. Do your best believing. It's not falling apart. It's falling into place. Yeah, you say, but my job. Okay, maybe it's shaky right now, but God can fall it into place. I heard Pastor hasn't been preaching every Sunday. Who told you that? He did. I'm not gossiping.
He told me. When? Just before the services. Now, what is that all about? No, what is that all about? Well, I can tell you, pastor's falling apart. Yeah, you voted him in, he's falling apart. You know I'm being facetious, right? I wonder what God's doing. Maybe he's empowering your pastor. Maybe everything's falling into place, and maybe this is the cup to drink for more power, for more guidance. Maybe God's getting pastor ready for the opening of the building in a couple of years or a year. Come on, is that right? I don't know what's going on, but this is unusual, right, Mrs. Pastor? This is not normal. He's usually the energy bunny. And now it's, But maybe God's fitting something together here. Because sometimes God will bring a man down before he lifts him up. Come on, is that right? Preacher, this might be part of your thorn package. A thorn is not a bad thing. A thorn is a good thing. But it seems very difficult. Does that make sense? After Paul came back and saw certain things, God says, now I'm going to give you a thorn. Lest you be exalted in your mind above measure, this thorn is going to keep you humble while I empower you. And so Paul said this, I will rather glory in the infirmity that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Come on, is that right? So don't get discouraged if pastor's not preaching all the time. This is part of the package. Actually, he's falling apart. So God can fit it all into place and teach him something that only God can teach him. You say, I wish you wouldn't talk about my pastor that way. I already have. But it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It just hasn't borne out what it is yet. I'm kind of excited to see what's going to happen next around here. When he says you're an unusual church, it's because bizarre things have happened. Is bizarre a good word? Unusual things, Joseph. Come on. Unusual things have happened. But you all have kept a good spirit. It's not falling apart. It's what? Falling into place. What you're going through personally, it's not falling apart. Somehow it's falling into place. You're saying, man, I wish it would fall into place quicker. In God's timing. But may I say, one of the things you could do is say, Lord, please fill me so I can understand better what's going on. Is this message making any sense? Yes. They were assembled for what? Fear of the Jews. Why? The Jews had blamed them for stealing the body. They thought he was going to become king. And now Peter has even gone out, denied him three times, and the third time he cussed about it. You talk about Peter going through a little sifting. Come on, yes or no? Isn't that the word? Satan hath desired to sift thee, which meant he was going to deny him three times, and Peter was going to learn something about himself and go out and weep bitterly. Don't tell me Peter didn't think it was falling apart. And then the Holy Ghost came into them, opened their understanding to what was going on currently. Please look up here. And then they were glad. You are getting closer and closer and closer to what God has. And by the way, hasn't people been getting saved? I heard the testimony about the bus ministry and the bus routes. Please keep it going, and you are. I'm glad there's people sitting outside tonight and, I don't know, in all the places the cameras are and the rooms and all that. And you got to find more room for adult Sunday school classes. Please, this whole place doesn't make sense. But God's in it. And God makes the church consist and is moving it forward tonight. Could I ask you to do something, whether you feel moved to or not, whether you feel convicted to or not, in edification? Why don't you ask God to fill you with His Spirit? You say, I just did that. Ask Him again for your current situation in your own life and in the life of this church coming up to another offering time. Because when He breathed on them, the Holy Ghost came in. It wasn't falling apart anymore in their mind. It was fitting into place. And may I say to you, it's all fitting into place. Even what Pastor has going on, it's all fitting into place. I'll say it again. It's all fitting into place. Let's stand.